So in today's parak of Sefer Yehoshua, in today's parak of Nachyomi, which is Yehoshua Parak Hei, we find the Jewish people in the following situation. The nation had just seen the many zechusim that came about as anisim that happened because of Yehoshua. The people stood between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh. They saw the splitting of the Yarden. They saw the Kohanim flying over the Yarden after they were back on the wrong side, which basically showed the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just with Yehoshua in the same way that he was with Moshe, and they showed the world that Hashem was ready to bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So as you could assume, the Canaanim who were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, they were gripped with a tremendous amount of fear. And so at this time, as the nation stood on the west side of the Yarden, Hashem commands Yehoshua to prepare Charvos Tzurim, to prepare sharp stones, and he's going to use them to go ahead and shuv mulas Yisrael Shenis, to go give a bris milah for Bnei Yisrael a second time. So Rashi explains the second time refers to the fact that this is the second time Bnei Yisrael were able to go ahead and do a bris milah en masse. The first time was on the night they left Mitzrayim, and 40 years had gone by, and many of the people weren't able to have a bris milah because when they were traveling in the desert, the Ruach Tzfonis, the northern wind, didn't blow in their direction. The Ruach Tzfonis, says the Gemara, has the ability to be able to heal a bris milah, but it didn't blow during that period in time, and so they didn't know when they were going to be able to take some time off to rest. And so therefore it wasn't safe for them to go ahead and do the mitzvah of bris milah, says the Gemara in Yevamos. And Chazal explained that the northern wind didn't blow in this period in time because it would have scattered the Anani HaKavod that were going in front of Bnei Yisrael. So under these circumstances, it was impossible to do the mitzvah of bris milah, therefore they didn't go ahead and do the bris up until the point of Yehoshua Parak Hei, where we find ourselves today. Now the question has to be asked, why didn't Hashem make a miracle and have the northern wind blow and not let it go ahead and scatter the Anani HaKavod? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did command that Bayom HaShmini Yimal B'sar HaLasso, that the bris milah has to be done 8 days after birth. And so if that's the case, the fact that the case of the generation in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that the mitzvah was only going to be temporarily unfilled, since it would eventually be performed by Yehoshua, just not Bizmana. Hashem decided this was not a reason, says, for him to go ahead and be Mishana and change the world order. It should also be understood that no Navi ever turned around and gave them a bit of Musar for not doing the Bris Milah during this point in history. But the Gemara also offers a second reason for the nations not doing the Bris Milah. The first reason, as we said before, was the fact that it was dangerous. The second reason was the fact that Bnei Yisrael may have to get up at a particular moment in time and start moving along, which would have also made it too dangerous to perform. So if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Shmos, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was en route back to Mitzrayim, why is it that he did get punished? After all, Bnei Yisrael, throughout the time they were in the desert, didn't get punished for not doing a bris milah. How come Moshe was when he was on his way back to the land of Mitzrayim? So Radak answers that Moshe should have given his bris milah and waited the time, and only then should he have gone ahead on his journey. Bnei Yisrael don't have that right. Once the Anani HaKavod are starting to move, they have to get ready to move. The Radak also says it would have been impossible for Yehoshua to have done a bris milah on all of Am Yisrael by himself. And so therefore, as we see in the Perek, in Psukim Dalet Teches, we see that other people are doing bris milah together with him at that same moment in time. Metzudas David disagrees. He says that, are you crazy? Yehoshua was doing every single one of the bris milahs himself. Since he was the only one who had a bris milah, the halacha is that only somebody who has already had a bris has the ability to go ahead and perform a bris. And so here we have Bnei Yisrael waiting it out. And Bnei Yisrael wait 4 days in Gilgal until they recovered from their bris. So Hashem tells Yehoshua on that day that he has taken off Cherpas Mitzrayim Me'aleichem. He got rid of the disgrace of Mitzrayim. And Rashi explains that this disgrace went back to the times of Paro, because Paro had said at the beginning of Parshas Bo, Re'u ki ra neged p'neichem. He told Moshe Rabbeinu that he couldn't let them out because he saw the star Ra'a, which was a sign of blood, and he said that it's opposite you, and you guys are going to get hurt. Paro didn't know that the blood was Damila. And so when Yehoshua gave the bris milah to the entire nation, the cherpa was totally removed. The Erev Rav, which was still telling over the traditions of Paro, they were all of a sudden out of the camp. Radak also says that Shimon and Levi said that it's Cherpa Hilanu, people who don't have a Bris Milah are considered disgraceful to the Jewish people. So during the time that Bnei Yisrael were walking around in the desert for 40 years, they also had a Cherpa. It was a tremendous amount of embarrassment. The Vilna Gaon explains that Mitzrayim used to go ahead and mock Bnei Yisrael, saying they couldn't come into Eretz Yisrael. And then, when they came to Gilgal, which means Galosi Escherpas Mitzrayim, I have revealed and removed the disgrace of Israel, of Egypt, we are able to now go ahead and go into the land of Israel. So, of course, continuing with the theme of the fact that this is the Haftorah for the first day of Pesach, the nation brings the Karban Pesach, and they eat from the new grain that gets harvested in Eretz Yisrael, because on this period in time, there was no man anymore, and the nation encamps on the outskirts of Jericho, and at that point in time, Yoshua gets visited that night, and a Malach comes and visits Yoshua with a sword in his hand, and Rashi explains the Malach comes along, and says he wanted to help Bnei Yisrael knock down the walls of Jericho. But Yoshua is not sure exactly who he is, and he asks the Malach, Halonu ata ulitzareinu, are you with us, or are you against us? And the Malach answers that he was a Sar Tzva Hashem ata basi. He says, I'm an angel of Hashem, I came to help now. So Yoshua asks, what should I do? And of course the Malach tells him, take off your shoes, for the land that you're standing on is Kadosh land. So Yoshua takes off his shoes. And then the Malach comes along and he says, Ata Basi. He says, I'm coming now. In other words, after the Chet HaEgel, where Moshe was told by Hashem that Hinei Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefanecha, that I'm sending a Malach to go ahead and bring you into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe had told Hashem that Hashem, if Hashem won't lead the Jewish people in, they shouldn't go in. And now comes Yoshua, and the Malach, who's coming along to guide Bnei Yisrael into the land, now all of a sudden the rules are different. When the time comes for Yoshua to take over the leadership of Bnei Yisrael, Hashem told Moshe to put his hand on Yoshua and transfer some of his hod, some of his splendor to him. So Moshe Rabbeinu puts two hands on Yoshua, telling him that in the times of war he has to make sure that Torah study and the Korban HaTamid continue. So we understand why this Malach in the Perek, in today's Perek, comes along to give Musa to Yoshua. He says, today you were busy preparing for war. The Aron was in its right place. So we understand why he didn't go ahead and bring the Karban Tamid Chal Bein HaArbayim. He didn't bring the afternoon Karban HaTamid. But there's no war going on at night. So why aren't people going ahead and studying Torah? To which the Gemara here in Megillah comments and notes that Yoshua says, which Aveira are you coming to give me Musar for? Not bringing the Karban Chal Bein HaArbayim this afternoon or right now? To which the Malach answers, Ata Basi, I came now. Saying that people should be involved in night seder, people should be involved in studying Torah at night. And we find later in the battle with Ai, Yoshua slept Vayalin Benachal, right? He slept in the valley. And the Gemara explains that's the depths of the Torah and in Omko Shel Torah. The depths of the Torah and the valley have the same root. And this is the summary of today's parak. Again, just to review some of the basic ideas that we learn in today's parak, we find that as Bnei Yisrael find themselves coming in, Yoshua prepares these charvos surim, these sharp stones, and he gives the bris milah to Bnei Yisrael, since it was impossible to do the mitzvah in the desert. The nation rests in Gilgal for 4 days to recover from the bris. The nation brings the Karban Pesach, and they eat from the new grain, and the man stops falling, and the Malach shows up to visit Yoshua. And of course, we will continue tomorrow with our wonderful world of Sefer Yoshua as we go into Perek Vav to talk about what ultimately happens with this very beginning of the battle in Jericho. We'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.